Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 84, stanzas 1 and 2. I graciously will teach thee the way that thou shalt go, and with my eye upon thee my counsel make thee know. And what follows in 1 and 2 of Psalter 84.
This afternoon, a portion of God's holy word that can be found in the second epistle of Paul the Apostle to Timothy, thereof the second chapter. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 2 Timothy 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor, and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. We shall now read the form for the administration of baptism, which can be found on page 126 of your Psalter book. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified. And we admonished to loathe and humble ourselves before God, and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal, an undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ. As God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. This also the Apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Therefore, God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith, and therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Since then, baptism is come in the place of circumcision, Therefore, infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion.
That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, and let us call upon his holy name. O almighty and eternal God, thou who hast according to thy severe judgment punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast according to thy great mercy saved and protected believing Noah and his family, and thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee, and that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children, and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, and that they may be buried with him into his death, and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, and that they may, with a comfortable sense of thy favor, leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. I now request the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used to that end and not out of custom or superstition, that it may then be manifest that you are thus minded. You are to answer sincerely to the following questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and are therefore subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet in that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith, which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion, whereof you are parents instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein, to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Father and Mother Van Hagenbos? Father and Mother Arnoldusen, and Father and Mother Klaassen, and Father and Mother Den Hollander, Father and Mother Vandenberg. Dear parents, we have just heard read to us here, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, He cannot deny himself if we believe not. What does that mean? If we believe not, you say God's people, they are believers. We have heard that this morning of the heroes of faith, that is God's church. And it says here, if ye believe not. But we heard also what it was in the life of Isaac, and that he was not able to exercise that faith that God had given to him. And so it is experienced so often in the life of God's true people, those in whom faith that is planted, that they are not able just to bring it into exercise. Therefore, and the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, O ye of little faith. And indeed, so it is experienced daily, and therefore the Lord has given the sacraments, the holy sacraments, even this baptism. But our question for you in this hour is, do you have faith? Do you also have exercises? Because we heard from the form of the promise of God, and we heard also of the responsibility on your side. Do you have now exercises, soul exercises for your own soul? Because if that is so, then you will have soul exercises also for your children. But now on the other side, the responsibility. And if you will feel something for yourself of the corruption and that is living within your own heart, then you will know also what is in the heart of your child, because who can bring forth a clean thing out of an unclean? And it is under such circumstances that this sacrament becomes so precious to his people. Why? Because it is so one-sided. And that is what the Apostle Paul says here. He says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. That is the way it was with Abraham when the Lord came and made that covenant with him. And then he said, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee. Read it again when you come home and ask yourself what was there from the side then of Abraham. Say yes, then he had to have himself and his children circumcised. It was the outward form, but there was nothing in the essence of that covenant that had to come from Abraham. It was nothing less than that covenant of grace between God the Father and God the Son, and that is so sure for the sake of his people. And therefore we hope that also this sacrament of baptism may be that which may give you, in all your trials, in all the impossibility to fulfill the responsibility for yourselves, for your children, and that this sacrament may be that which may give you to look up. Because if you are serious about what you have just promised in these moments, concerning that promise and concerning the responsibility, and then there will be trials in your life to fulfill it. But the Lord give that you may know also that which the apostle says here, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself, that it may become for each of you and for your children your comfort. Congregation, while the children are brought in, let us sing from Psalter 431, the fourth stanza. And after baptism, we ask you to stand and to sing Psalter 425, verse 5. Thus, 431 in the fourth stanza, open saith the Lord, wide thy mouth believing. This my covenant word I will, if thou plead, fill thine every need, all thy wants relieving. Michaela Henriette, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Logan William, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Jason Hendrick, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Emily Anita, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Marilyn Dawn, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask a blessing for this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee through the same Son of Thy love, and that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, and that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they then may acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify Thee and Thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Glorify thereto Thy grace in the hearts of these parents, that it may live and burn within each and every day, that they may find a place continually at Thy footstool. For Thou knowest the day in which that we do live, and it is the lot of these children to be born. Oh, that Satan, he has every device aimed at the rising generation, so that there is so much vigilance necessary as parents, and that Thou may give that faithfulness and that diligence to walk before Thee uprightly, and that Thou may grant them much grace in their hearts, that they may know how to instruct their children, and that Thou may remember the grandparents, the great-grandparents. Thou knowest also the joy of their hearts, when also the rising generation may be brought under Thy covenant. O Lord, could it please Thee also to fulfill it amidst the families, that there may be a storming of Thy throne of grace for those that do come behind us, and that Thou may also fulfill it in the lives of the families, that Thou may give that as we go onward, and as life quickly passes away, that it may not be without fruit, that we also have received that sacrament and that sign, and that seal upon our own foreheads and upon the foreheads of our children, that Thou may so bless us as a congregation, that Thou may give a true conviction and true sorrow for sin. For Thy servant did say, wash me, cleanse me from my sin. And Thou dost say in Thy word, then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your pollution and from all your idols will I cleanse you. O Lord, wilt Thou sprinkle that water also upon us and upon our children? Wilt Thou look upon young and old together, that we may know the essence, the meaning of that sacrament for ourselves, that it may be, as we have read out of our form, not a form and a custom, but that it may have a bearing in our life. Look on us in this afternoon hour. Wilt thou bless thy word? Give what is necessary to bring it, and that thou thyself may be amongst us to bring that word with power in the hearts of each and every one. Wilt thou supply for all thy sent servants, the students, and all that do go forth, that thy word may go forth with power over the length and breadth of this whole world. O Lord, be thou then in our midst, in this hour. Forgive and take away all that is sinful. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 284, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O come, my soul. Bless thou the Lord thy Maker, and all within me bless his holy name. Bless thou the Lord, forget not all his mercies, his pardoning grace and saving love proclaim. And what follows in stanzas 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 284, and the last collection today is for the treasured meditations. congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in that portion that was read to you from 2 Timothy, the second chapter, and thereof the fifth verse. 2 Timothy 2, verse 5. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. So far the words of our text, which do speak about the lawful strife to receive the crown. First, we want to consider the coveted crown, and second, the lawful strife. Thus, the lawful strife to receive the crown, first, the coveted crown, and second, the lawful strife. And if a man also strive for masteries, what is that? To strive for masteries. We read also in the verse before of a strife. No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Thus it talks about a warfare. It talks about a strife. As he says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. A soldier who goes into the army is one who has to leave behind his profession in this world, and he has only one thing to do, and that is to fight against the enemy. And so the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy. He has to do that in a special way, of course, because he is chosen as a servant of God for a work, and that he has to leave behind all the occupations in this world. But it is not only for Timothy, but it is in a certain way also for the entire church of God, because they are to use this world as not abusing it, and they are called in a church militant, that is, in a strife, in a warfare, so that everything in this world, in this life that is earthly, carnal, and that has to become subservient to that warfare. And now the Apostle Paul proceeds and he speaks a little bit further. He continues to speak about strife. But the picture that he represents in our text is no longer about the warfare, but he speaks here, he makes a comparison in that strife to the striving that was in the commonly known Greek Olympic Games. That he speaks about striving for masteries. Then there was a crown. So he says that there is a crown, or that there is a reward to be had. Well, we know that in those games there was a crown. Then they didn't receive a crown of gold, but they received a wreath, and that was placed upon their heads when they did come to the end of that race first, or whatever that competition was, so that was for them a very, very a great honor, a great fame in this world. And now the Apostle Paul, he is speaking to Timothy, and he says, they do run a race in this world, and they do seek for a crown that is in this world. And for that crown, they are ready to give much exertion. But he says that there is another crown. There is a crown that is so very much greater than that crown that men do seek for in this world. Thus, by nature, man is seeking the crowns, the rewards that come to him in this world. And what is then that crown that we are seeking? What is that reward that we are seeking in this world? Because we can read that men are seeking for riches in the world. The Lord Jesus, he spoke a parable about a man who said, I will rip down my barns and I will build a greater barn. That does not mean that we may not build ever a greater barn, but that is that that man, he was seeking everything that was in this world. But all the things that are in this world, they are not lasting. That man was seeking ease. That is a crown sought for by many in the world. That is a carnal, a sensual ease. Then he said, my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But that ease, that it would not last, no, not even through the night. All the carnal ease that we may have in this world never lasts long. Because Job, he says that man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And the longer that we live in this world, the more that we experience the truth of this. Thus man, he is seeking the riches of this world. He is seeking the ease, the pleasures of this world. Athaliah, she sought the power that is in this world. She sought the throne, and she was willing to destroy all the seed royal in order that she may obtain this crown. And indeed, she obtained an earthly crown. But Solomon, he says, doth the crown continue to every generation. Thus, congregation, what is now that crown that we are seeking? Because there are a multitude of them in the Vanity Fair in which we are living in this world. Multitudes of rewards which we are expending our strength for each and every day. How is it with you, fathers and mothers? You have children. You have baptized children. What is that crown? No, I will not ask you. I will ask your children. What would they say to me? What is that crown? What is that reward that my father is seeking? What is that crown? What is that reward that my mother is seeking? What is now most important to them in their life? And if a man also strive for masteries, grace that changes the opinion of a man, it changes his opinion concerning what is now the crown, the reward that he will seek for in his life. Grace. Grace that opens his eyes. Grace that shows to him the importance of those things which are spiritual. The importance of those things that are eternal over against all the things that are carnal. Over against all the things that are passing away in this world. Grace. Grace changes our opinion concerning the things that are worthy and the things that are unworthy. David said, one thing have I desired. One thing. Is that also what we desire? One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Why? Not to be seen of men, no, but to see something. He says that I may behold the beauty of the Lord, and that I may inquire in his temple. Thus, that was the reward, that was the crown that David did seek. Significant mark. A very significant mark in the life of that true church of God. When the heart that begins to turn from all that it sought before, and when the heart begins to long and begins to pant after those streams of living water, In those Olympic Games, they received a crown that was made of laurel leaves or olive leaves, soon to fade away, just like the fame that they represented. But what does grace do? Grace that makes a man to turn away from all the perishing crowns in this world, and that he may seek that crown of glory, the crown of glory that he reads of in God's word, that fadeth not away. Our first thought that is the coveted crown. The coveted crown, what is it? Well, what did the Lord say to Abraham? He said to Abraham, "Fear not, Abraham." He says, "For I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Thus, what is that coveted reward? The coveted reward that grace is looking for, is seeking after, that is I, he says, am thy reward. That is the reward of God himself. What did Asaph say? He says, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none on earth that I desire beside thee." David, he also longed. He longed that he may know God, that he may drink from that fountain of waters. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. What greater crown, what greater reward can man have in this life than to have God himself? What greater blessing can he be blessed with than to come into that blessed communion with God himself? Do you seek for ease? What greater peace, what greater rest can a man have than when he may be given to bask in the divine love, in the divine favor, as he goes in this life towards that time that he must pass away and leave everything in this world behind? And then connected to all this, that is the freedom from all pain, the freedom from all sorrow, and to have every tear wiped away from our faces, or to have justification, to have sanctification, to have a complete redemption. Oh, what crown, what reward more can a man look for in this world than to have the Lord himself? What is now our opinion of all this? Because Paul, he speaks about striving. That is our second thought. That is the lawful strife. And if a man also strive for masteries, and that is, congregation, the only way that man is ever able to receive this crown, that is through a strife for mastery. Luke, he writes that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Did you ever read the Pilgrim's Progress? Because there he does portray those obstacles that are standing in the way of a man as he is making his journey as a pilgrim over this world. The Lord Jesus, he says that it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Thus, they speak about a strife. The Apostle Paul wrote also to the Corinthians about a race. And he says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but that only one receiveth the prize?" So he says, run, so run, that ye may obtain. So run, as if that prize that is worthy to you. And so in our text, he is speaking also about this race, this striving for masteries, in order that we may receive that crown. How is it then in our own life? Is there any strife? Even as we are striving in all the races of this world to receive, but the Lord Jesus, he says, ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, he says, and ye shall find. Knock, he says, and it shall be opened unto you. Thus that promise. That promise of the Lord is connected to that seeking. A precious promise that is to lure the heart of a man. Oh, let us never think that crown is to be obtained through sloth. Let us never think that prize is to be obtained by turning over upon our bed. No drowsiness, we read, and that will clothe a man with rags sitting on our couch and blaming the Lord for his doctrine of election and rejection that will only bring a man to an eternal condemnation. And if a man also strive for masteries, what is that? That is a striving that is a fruit of the new life. Thus, we may ask ourselves if we know of such a striving in our life, because the Lord Jesus in the book of Revelations, he speaks many times of those that do overcome. He says, "Though he that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. Him that overcometh I will give to eat of that hidden manna. Him that overcometh I will give to him a white stone. He that overcometh I will clothe him with white raiment. To him that overcometh, I will not blot his name out of that book of life. O him that overcometh, I will make a pillar in the house of the Lord. Him that overcometh, he shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." So many blessings, so many promises. Precious promises in the eyes of those who receive a new life, those who receive a sanctified sight. Precious promises. Is it any wonder that seeking, that striving that is found in that new life? Why? Because there is so much to overcome. But that overcoming, that is no easy matter. No, David, he says, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. That is no easy matter. No, that is a strife, as we read here. A strife. Do we know such a strife? To live that life that is acceptable unto the Lord. Job, he said, "I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid?" What was it? That was a striving for mastery. No, that was not just a striving that I may be holy in the sight of other men. No, that was a striving that he may receive the mastery of his own wicked heart? Or do we know as such a striving also for ourselves, young people, in our secret chambers? Or do you also, would you be an offense, girls, with your clothing? Would you be an offense unto Job, who had to make a covenant with his own eyes? Thus, the strife, what lusts, what corruptions there are to be subdued in the heart of a man, because our heart that is like the troubled sea, that cannot rest, that is continually casting forth its mire and its dirt, that heart, oh, that is so much more wretched than a man ever knew. How is that learned? That is learned in that strife. And what is learned? That is how great my sins and my miseries are. David, the man after God's own heart. But see how he has fallen in that strife. Wounded in that strife, think of Bathsheba. Think of that time that he did number the people. Oh, how that his heart did mourn under these falls. If a man also strive for masteries, do we know what that is? To be one of that church that does strive for masteries in order that we may receive the crown. How is it going then in that strife? Perhaps you say that is not going well. I think I shall never receive that crown. Why? Because I am not able to overcome. Because that sin that is stronger than I. Let us sing first. Psalter 74, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord, O Lord, give ear when with my voice I cry aloud to thee. Have mercy also, I entreat. Give answer unto me. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 74.
Thank you.
And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. There are people for whom it seems that there is no or maybe just so little strife. We read of the rich young ruler that he said, "All these things have I kept from my youth up." It seems like he was able to overcome. Then there was an increase and an increase in his life in the way of holiness. But it was not a striving, as Paul says here, that was according to the law, except he strive lawfully. What does that mean? To strive lawfully. Well, our children will understand that because he is speaking about those Olympic Games. And if a man does not go then according to the laws in that game, to the rules, you would say, boys and girls, in the game, then, of course, then it is not possible that he receives the crown because he has not run in a lawful, in a right way. And now if a man has no strife in order to keep that law, then there is evidence that that man does not strive lawfully. What does that mean? It means that there is evidence that that man does not understand the law, that he does not comprehend the spirituality of that law, and that he has but gone from the city of destruction to the city of morality, that he may have an outwardly religious and civil life. But that city of morality that is lying very, very close to that city of destruction. And in such a way, a man can never receive that crown. Why? Because he is always falling short on the side of God, so that there can never be a fulfilling of that standard of his law. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Thus, what is now then that lawful striving, by which that crown is only able to be received? That is one of the greatest paradoxes that is in the life of God's people, their whole life. That is to them every day, each and every day, a mystery until the Lord opens their eyes the first time, but also by renewal. That is that in which they need to be instructed daily by the Spirit of the Lord. What does Paul say? He says, by what law? Of works? Nay, he says, but by the law of faith. Thus, it is these, and these only, that can ever receive that crown, that strive according to that law of faith. You say, what are the precepts of that law? What are the statutes of that law? That a man may strive according to that law, that he may receive that crown. Well, that law of faith, that says that a man, he must renounce his own righteousness through that law. that a man, he must become altogether as an unclean thing, that even all his righteousnesses and all his goodness and all his religion and all his church going and all his praying and all his reading and so on and so on must become in his sight as filthy rags. Precept of that law of faith. What a strife. Because my righteousness that does not just willingly die, but my righteousness that is fighting to the end of its life. But here is now the death that is required in that strife that is according to that law of faith. The death in the battle that is necessary to happen in order that a man he may receive the crown. We say a mystery, a paradox, and then not to die one time, but it is a death that has to happen over and over again. The Apostle Paul, he says, I die daily. The precepts, the statutes of that law of faith, the renunciation of my righteousness. That is that a man renounces also his own strength. That he becomes within himself and in his own in estimation indeed as one who is dead. One who is dead in trespasses and in sins. And when a man is dead, that means a man, he is not able to help himself. What a strife. What a strife. Why? Because there is love in his heart. Then is that love born that was born when faith was born? That was love then born in that day of regeneration. And what does a man do, or a boy or a girl, children, when you are born again? And when that love is burning in your heart, then you do everything for the Lord. Everything. If there is something that is in your power, then you will not leave anything undone. Why? Because you see that crown. Not an earthly crown, no. You see that reward. It is a spiritual reward. It is a heavenly reward. And that is the Lord himself and that love of the Lord that is burning in your heart. And then you say, I will do everything. I will renounce everything in this world. I will depart from all my wicked ways. The Apostle Peter, he says, I am ready to go with thee into prison and into death. That was out of a love that was living in his heart that was planted by the Lord himself. And now congregation, to lose that battle. To lose that battle. That is necessary. According to that lawful striving and the precepts of that law of faith. And if not, we will never receive that crown. How many years? How many years does it not often take before that a man is cut off from all of his own work? And that everything from my side that is now so completely coming to an end. How many years does it take sometimes? The Lord is free. Before a man, he says with Paul, "Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me? The good I would, I do not. And the evil that I would not, that I do." That has to become the conclusion of all his strife, that he is not able in himself to fulfill it. What did Jacob say about Gad, prophecy on his deathbed? A troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. A troop shall overcome him. Do we know what that is? A renunciation of our righteousness. A renunciation of our strength. That is an acknowledgement of the depth of our fall. The renunciation of our wisdom. What a strife. What a strife was there in the life of Naaman the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Do you hear the strife? It was not living only in his heart. It came out of his mouth, that we may also know it. And we can hear in the heart of that man what a strife that there was. But he could not receive the crown that way. He could not be cleansed that way. My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to be washed, he saith to thee, wash and be clean. What a strife. What a struggle that is going on in the heart of that man in those moments. And what shall be the outcome of that struggle? It was but the pleading of a slave. It was but the pleading of a faithful servant, a loving servant for his master. But on that word, his eyes go open. And his heart is touched. And his will is broken. And he becomes obedient to the faith. And he receives the crown. The crown. What a simple preaching is that baptism, parents. Simple preaching of that full and that free remission. And that according to that law of faith. But what a strife. We can easily receive it in an outward way. But now what a strife to receive the substance of this. And that because of that pride that is living in the heart of man. And if a man also strive for masteries, what is it that is a strife to submit to an easy yoke and a light burden? It is true, we must give up our honor, our righteousness, our strength, our wisdom, everything that must be given up from our own side. But is not the crown great? Would you not be willing? And to become just like a little child, in order that you may now receive that crown. Was David put to shame when he bowed his head upon the accusation of the Lord's servant? And he said, I have sinned against the Lord. What a strife. Many months could not come there. Could not come there. But was he now made ashamed? How sweet were those words. The Lord, he has also put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. So he received the crown. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. That must be to the very end, people of the Lord. To the very end. Because when you run in a race, you cannot run halfway and receive the crown. The strife that goes to the very last of that race. Paul says, for masteries. And now what does the Lord Jesus say? He says, abide in me. That is now the strife for that true church of God. So difficult is it for that people to come in at that straight gate, at that wicked gate, because that is a gate that lies beyond Mount Sinai. But that way that is also so narrow. And a man can leave, wander away from Christ. And that way and the truth and the life. But it is now only by a great strife that he is brought back to him. Oh, how good is now that daily strife that is according to the precepts and the statutes of that law of faith. There is for that people a daily comfort in all their mourning. There is for them a daily rest in all their strife. Until they come to the end of that race, to the very, very end, where they may receive that crown, a crown we read, that they will not glory in themselves, but that they will cast it before the throne, and that they will say, Thou art worthy to receive all the honor, all the glory. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou show to us by true regeneration the blessedness of that crown? It is not an earthly crown. It is not a perishing crown. But it is a crown of glory, and that fadeth not away. Oh, then we need, Lord, we need a new heart, else we shall never seek for it, and we shall never obtain it. Oh, then we need the leading of thy Holy Spirit, otherwise we shall build ourselves up in our work holiness, but we need to be stripped away. Oh, we need to become less and less and nothing. To be cut off in ourselves, that thou may receive the honor, and that we may receive the crown. O, remember us in thy mercy, and lead us and our children, our grandchildren, our families, our loved ones. O, lead us, Lord, for the time is short, and the race that comes to its end. O, lead us then in that way. Be with us in the week to come, Spare us from a sudden and unprepared death. And wilt thou watch over all those that travel? And wilt thou remember our young people? And when we hope to begin confession classes once again, oh, do give them desire, and that they also may unite themselves unto thy church, that they may be united also to thee. Make that crown precious also in their life. Keep us from sin and evil. For Jesus' sake, amen. 422, stanza 6. Thou art, O God, our boast, the glory of our power. And thy sovereign grace is e'er our fortress and our tower. We lift our heads aloft, for God our shield is o'er us. Through him alone, whose presence goes before us, we'll wear the victor's crown, no more by foes assaulted. We'll triumph through our King, by Israel's God exalted. Let us sing also verse 7, 6 and 7 of Psalter 422.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.